This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
One of the things that is a must is that we build our lives and we make it our duty, our responsibility, our privilege to share that living word with others. And today, as God would have it ordained. He's just so cool how he does that. We have a man with us and his family who spend their lives doing just that, sharing, teaching the word of God. So I want to introduce you to Bernard Hostjack and his beautiful family. Glad to have you with us today. Would you welcome the Hostjack family as they're here today? Brother, come on up and join them if you would. I just met this man about, 30, 40 minutes ago, right? And I really feel like we're kind of brothers. He's my my better looking. I can't. How old are you?
This year I'll be 57.
He's my older brother. How come I look older than you? How does that work? I don't know. You can introduce your family to us.
It's my wife, Joanne. Just stand and give the royal wave, maybe. Been married for this year 34 years. My eldest daughter Jessica, stand. Praise the Lord. That's my family.
Shannon, we good? All right. You know, I when we found out that Hostjack is what we call him, right? You know, that's what everybody calls him. So I have to get used to that term. I think I know where the Hoss came from. I think I understand that part. But the way that God works, you know, I had heard about Hostjack through our friend Dr. Jay Swallow, who I'd met through Fran. And, of course, you know, we've got Patrick and Esther here today, too. It's like how God brings the family together. Paths cross and relationships are formed. And even though this is my first time to meet this man, I'd heard much about him through Dr. Jay Swallow. And it just, you know, Saskatchewan, Canada isn't across the street or anything. So it's a little distance for us to get together, but they happen to be coming through this way on their way to Texas. We're kind of on the path, sort of, as the geese fly. We're kind of on the path. And so when I knew they were here, I invited them to come. Chad, would you come and grab us a couple of stools, please? And we're just going to spend the rest of our time together today just talking about what we just learned. I want you to get to know this guy because tonight at 6 o'clock, he and his family are coming back, and we're going to spend an amazing Valentine's night together as a family. You know, how I looked at this, you know, is we are touching the things that touch the heart of God. And you teaching the word of God to these places that you're going to, and then reading your bio, I saw where you kind of have to take creative methods to get to the places where you go in Canada. Canada's kind of a big place.
Yes.
And
yes.
How was it you described your mode of transportation, planes, trains, and automobiles? Is that
yes.
right?
Well, that's my wife's definition. she said, honey, that's trains, planes, automobiles, helicopters, uh-huh. skidoos.
Whatever it takes.
bombardiers, airplanes. The first time in my life land on water with an airplane.
Yeah, that on water.
I felt really
never
scary.
Done that, yeah.
But yes, to get to remote areas, it's pretty challenging.
Yeah.
It's pretty challenging.
You know, it's sort of like culturally, you're dealing, I suppose, mostly with these remote villages and things, and you're doing kind of what we've done here. You're planting works.
That's right.
You're taking the Word of God into places where, you know, this building, you know, you don't know much about our history here, but this was a swimming pool next door at one time. And I don't think it was ever a church. But, you know, for 150 years, this has been just a building sitting here in the middle of our
right.
community, and we're
right.
bringing the Word of God in a new location, but it's the same message.
That's right.
You're doing the same thing. You're going to yes. places where the Word
yes.
hasn't been planted before,
That's right.
but obviously
That's
you're
right.
seeing a response. Tell me the impact you're seeing of as you're going out and on your dog sleds and all the things that you're doing. Tell me how that's making an impact there in your area.
Well, we've been going in the northern parts of Canada for a long time, you know, outdoor washrooms. And,
yes.
You know. And,
we had that. We had porta potties out here where we started, so we can kind of relate almost.
And, you know, sitting in minus 40, minus 50 degrees.
We don't have that.
You know, my wife would wear a slacks and a dress together, so.
Yeah.
But the impact is that having preaching the gospel to these people, after seeing the turnaround of people's lives, when you look at the, yes, the distance, the weather, how to get there,
yeah,
people coming and falling on their knees, basically crying before the Lord. Mm. And some of them will just practically lay on the floor and just cry out to God.
Wow.
The native tradition is when the natives pray, they never sat on a stool. They actually sat on the ground because they wanted to be close to what God created, the earth. And then I begin to realize, even in the biblical way, real worship is to lie prostrate on the ground.
Right, right.
And so these people come from far and near. One gentleman, Sandy Lake, Ontario, I wasn't at the meeting, but it happened before we got there. A man drove, I think it was about 80 to 100 miles in the forest where he lived, to a remote community, came in and took his clothes off. The stove was burning. He walks up, takes the microphone. He says, "Jesus is coming soon. Get ready." Falls over and he dies.
Oh.
It's a natural death, but it shook the whole community.
Wow.
That the, he got to tell the people we need, and people came and gave their lives to God.
Wow.
So in the stories of traveling into the north, it's a lot of challenge.
Yeah, no doubt.
The timing of the Lord. We've been up there in the summer months, the winter months, the cold months. I remember traveling up north. We got caught in the air. We couldn't land, so we flew way north, and they dropped us. Said, "We'll see you later." They came the next day for us, of course, but the challenge is there. Time is really not really an essence there. They'll worship all day, all night, hungry.
There's a hunger, exactly.
Hungry. There's a hunger.
And I think that's what Pastor Jan was talking about, to hunger for the Word of God. I think that I have 150 versions of the Bible on my phone. Right? So it's like it's so common, so accessible, we take it for granted, and yet that is where the power comes from.
Yes, and the impact is, once you go there, I guess they fall in love with the Word of God, and they have a sense of saying, there's something good in your life, bringing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go in, you get invites to go back immediately.
Yeah.
They want more of hearing the scriptures.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a barrier. Esther knows that the languages, some of the elderly people, their first language is their native tongue. So if you talk English, they don't understand you. But if you're filled with the Spirit, they drink from that Spirit.
They can receive that. Yeah, that's good.
So
that's
they break down the barrier. So I remember when I first go to the remote areas and we preaching like this, I would say my words, and the guy would interpret in the native tongue. And pretty soon, I called my interpreter an interrupter.
Yes, I can relate to that.
But the thing is, what you give to them, every little word, it seems it's so meaningful for them.
Yeah.
If Jesus said he can heal you, they'll hear it, they'll receive it. And
they have no problem not believing that.
That's
right.
That's
true. So here's the problem that I think, Oschak, is we live, of course, that your stories you're telling are like, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But those of us who live in middle America, we feel like that what you're describing is this superhero thing that only these amazing men of God would do. Mm-hmm. But the issue is we have people who are just as desperate in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, for us to have the same hunger and desire and to recognize maybe they're not expressing it the same way, their need for Jesus is the same.
That's right.
Yeah, so to stir us up, give us some encouraging words on how it's not just for the superheroes, but it's the average guy that God's called.
You know what? Speaking right now, I believe that God has people like this right here
that
are like David's in the desert, minding the sheep.
That's good.
God has people in the caves that are being released now.
Yeah.
As a ministry of dynamics to reach the nations. Mm-hmm. I believe that tonight, if the Lord will allow me, what I see spiritually is that everyone that comes, we'd like to pray over you and a release of God's anointing in your life. Mm-hmm. I really believe that power comes through delegated authority. Mm-hmm. It's delegated to you through authority. Authority comes through a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And so tonight, I would like to pray for the people that would come and release a special anointing upon your life. 18 months ago, my wife on her side, grandchild, 18 months ago, raised, basically died over the telephone. Paramedics didn't get there. My sister-in-law cries. Brother-in-law pray. Mm. We prayed. The child is no breath, no life. They're waiting for the paramedics to get the body. Mm-hmm. Through prayer, she hung up the doors, knocking. The paramedics are here, screaming. I lost my baby. Mm. We prayed. She hung up the phone. Called me back 45 minutes later. The baby was raised from the dead. God healed, raised the baby.
Wow.
I don't know why God does things like mm-hmm. that, but I just thank God.
Mm-hmm.
He's a miracle God. I had dreams as a child growing up, even before I became born again, preaching to different color of people. I'm here.
We love it.
I had dreams of raising people from the dead. Mm. In our ministry, we've had, I think, probably four people raised from the dead.
Wow.
In Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, a little boy, probably 10 years old. I come into the community to be the speaker. Friday, I'm reading the Bible, and the phone rings. The guy comes in. He says, Joe's lost. Was he here? A little boy named Joseph. I said, no. I said, my wife is here alone. Okay. He runs out. He comes back 20 minutes later. He says, oh, my God. They found Joe. He's dead, drowned in a lake just down the river here. He says, can you come and help me pull his body out of the water? So the ice was very thin.
Yeah.
He was skating.
Yeah.
He fell through. His cap was floating. He was down under. So I walk in up to here. My friend pulls him out. I grab him. We walk to the side. He's dead. Put him in a building, laid him on a table. And the pastor, Sister Margaret Taylor, was crying. The whole family was crying. He's gone. He's dead. I told Pastor, I said, we're here for revival. In my mind, I'm saying, Lord, we have death has hit us. So I told Pastor Margaret and the family, do what you can do professionally. Blow on her mouth, his mouth, move the body. So she was doing that. There was a cry of death all over the room. And back then, I began to use the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
What I was taught.
Yeah.
He said, raise the dead, heal the sick. So I said, in the name of Jesus, if you ever seen a preacher cry, I was crying. I said, Lord, we're in revival. We need to see a miracle. We need you to manifest your glory. We prayed for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and people cried. I said, just keep doing what you can. Do what's possible. God will do the impossible.
That's right.
And I began to pray a little longer. And I was hindered in my mind because I had an uncle that I prayed for earlier that had drowned and died. And I prayed and seen him die and bury him. But that day, the little boy, Joseph, after a few more minutes of prayer, the lady is crying and she screams. She said, stop praying. Stop. Everybody listen. And the little boy, he came back to life.
Wow.
God resurrected him from a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
The general store manager standing at the door, he says, oh, my God, oh, my God. I just witnessed a boy died, and someone's praying, and he comes back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Take him to Hearst, Canada, a little town. And I sit at the room at the home getting ready to preach. I say, Lord Jesus, wonder what happened. Phone rang. They said, Brother Jack. I said, yes. The little boy made it. They did all kinds of brain scans and whatever they call over his body. And he said his body was under the ground 20, 30 minutes.
Wow.
He should have been brain dead, but he's alive and everything is perfectly normal.
Wow.
They said he's alive, just letting you know he's alive, he's alive, mm-hmm. he's alive. I went to church that night. Church was too small.
Yeah.
People came to hear God raises the dead.
Yes, absolutely. Let's give God.
Hallelujah.
It's good.
So my dreams that I had was God was raising dead people. I didn't know I would experience them right offhand. And oh, my Lord, in the community, we go back there now and then. And the story is, hey, that's the preacher that was here when that little boy died.
That's awesome.
And God raised the dead. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Lord.
That's right. And I think, sometimes we totally sell him short. for what he would want to do if we would make ourselves available to him.
That's right.
Just like these ladies who went to the school for the Valentine's parties. It seems simple, but God can work amazing things just through simple acts of obedience. Simple acts of obedience. And I think, you know, I've heard it said that that's one of the things that, you know, people that speak prophetically and talk about the season that we're in, that we're going to see an increase in signs and wonders. Why? Because, you know, I want to be a nice church. I think that's a good thing to be nice.
Yes.
But I think sometimes the world is waiting to see if there's really any power behind what we say.
That's right.
And God is a God of the impossible. And there's no situation that he can't fix, that he can't address, no bondage he can't break,
praise
no
God.
Relationships he can't heal. I'm going to preach now, okay?
I feel coming on.
But, you know, it's awesome. That's why I was so pleased that Hoschak could be here with us today. On this day, we talk about teaching, the importance of knowing the Word of God, but not just knowing, but living, acting.
Right.
And the same God of the book of Acts is the same God
serve
today.
Right
the
now.
Same church he established then is the same church that we're a part of today.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Even though we haven't seen it,
does
it make it not true?
That's right.
You
know?
And I want to see it.
Praise the Lord.
I'm ready.
You know, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And married for 34 years.
Well,
my daughter asked me a trick question. Her sister, driving down the road, they said, "Dad, you're a preacher. God speaks to you." I said, "He does." She said, "Why aren't my sister and I married?" Valentine's Day, right, Jessica? Mm-hmm. And then I said, "Lord, help me to help my children." So the Lord told me, "Their life is hid with Christ in God." So I said, "The man that's going to marry you," I said, "he has to find you."
That's right.
And if you bury yourself in God, the only way he can find you is to start to pray and seek God. When
That's
he does,
good.
He will find you. But the thing, Pastor Doyle, about this is that I teach my children, just don't kiss anybody. The book of Solomon says, he said, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Scientifically, when a man kisses a woman, they deposit chemicals into a woman's body.
Huh.
And that chemical causes the lady to say, "Wow."
Yeah.
I mean, God created that way so we can
right.
be,
that's
we
right.
can live together forever.
Yeah.
So I teach my daughter, just don't kiss anybody. I said, "But you seek it out. You know, you have to be found. He that findeth a wife,
that's good.
Findeth a good
Amen.
Thing."
Amen.
So
that's good.
I teach our church, ladies, just don't kiss any man, or man, don't kiss
that's
any
right.
woman. I said, because the chemical of a man, his DNA, his chemical.
Yeah.
His,
that's
term,
a daddy's talking
the
right
term,
there. It's a daddy talking
The term
right
saliva.
All the fathers of daughters say amen.
Goes into the mouth of the girl. And
here you
and
go.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the lady's saying, "I miss him, I love him, but..."
See, and I needed all the help I could get. I'll take all those chemicals. I needed everything I could get to... But that's really true. I mean, the word I heard was buried treasure. You know, you're a buried treasure. And to bury yourself in the heart of God means that man has to seek God to find you. That's a good word right there. That's a good word. Well, that's the kind of stuff that tonight we're going to get to receive of the rich treasure this family's bringing to us. And we're so honored, sincerely, that you're here. Thank you so much for including us on your trip. Texas is a long way from Saskatchewan. So I'm glad we could be an oasis of... refreshing for you, and we're going to receive as well. You know, Pastor Hoschak, I want you to pray for us because, you know, we're a baby church. We're in our infancy, but we're believing God for the things that you're describing. You know, we know that just having a nice church, and we want to be friendly, and we want to serve people and meet their needs, but what we need is a supernatural move of God to change men's hearts, to change our hearts, you know, and that's the proof of the pudding. That is...
That's
you know,
true.
It's sort of a show me. They call our state the show me state.
Right.
That's the name of it, you know. And it's like, nothing wrong with that. God's not afraid of showing me, you know. That's what he does. You know, if you have a need, God can meet that need. And he's ready to show us. Do you believe that? You know, whether it's a financial need that we have or a relational need or a physical need in our bodies. You know, I think one of the reasons you're here, I think God brought you here is to put something into our DNA. You're going to kiss us, right? And deposit your DNA so that we're married.
When I first got saved, I went to a church, and we had a man from Australia, elderly man, and he did things that I never seen. One of the things, he prayed for the people, and he went like this. And I wondered about that. Is that biblical? Then John says, Jesus breathed on the people and they received. So one day, a few years later, I was in a remote community in the north, Sandy Lake, Cactopedum family. And there was 500 people in a gymnasium and a priest that came to see who's in town. And he stood at the back, 500 people, and I was about to minister. And in the corner of my eye, somebody's waving. And I said, it's a problem. The family says, come, come. I said, what's going on? The emergency plane is coming from Thunder Bay to pick up this man. He just dislocated or broke his shoulder. And he's in so much pain. He needs prayer, like right now, before you preach. Can you pray for him? I said, sure. And a thought came to me, Pastor. The Lord says, why don't you just blow breath on him? I went back to the pulpit. I said, how is my breath smelling today? Because if he don't get a miracle, he'll get a good whiff of breath.
What'd I have for lunch?
So I stand at the pulpit. The Lord says, do it. And the Lord never spoke to me a second time. I said, okay. I went back, prayed for the man. He fell over. And I didn't want to wait for the result. I just walked away and started to preach. I turned around. There was screaming and shouting in the corner. I said, what's going on? The guy's arm, if it was broken, it was healed. If it was out of joint, it went back into place.
Wow.
He's totally healed by the power of God.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. We have a good Father who loves us. Amen. So why don't you pray for us, Pastor?
All right.
Let's do that.
Jesus.
You just stand to your feet this morning.
Thank you,
Put
Lord.
Yourself in a posture to receive today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
I ask your anointing to fall upon us today.
Yes.
I ask the Holy Ghost to move in this place. I ask you to touch Pastor Doyle and his family. I ask the quickening power of God to heal the sick, the oppressed, God. I ask, oh God, Lord, a supernatural move of your Spirit. I ask you, God, as we get ready to release an anointing upon this congregation. God, even the music has been prophetic, God.
Yes.
Let it begin to move even greater and greater and greater. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your blessing now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. A special, a miracle night tonight of blessing upon every home, every family, every boy, every girl. I pray, God, you are the miracle worker. You are the bread of life. I thank you right now, Father. We take the limits off of you, Father.
Right.
We ask you to move and touch us. Go behind the closed doors of our minds and our thoughts. Begin to move and touch our families.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I bless this house. I bless this place, God. In Jesus' name
Thank
we
you.
Pray. Amen.
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 Let's give God glory. It's good stuff. It's good. It's so good.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.